to minute 98 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again joining me this week is Jim Wilson of the Blogging by Cinemalate website. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
All right. And so minute 98 begins with Henley leaning against the wall, crossing his arms, and saying, it's not you, it's me. And goes all the way to Willie try to dissuade Danny from trying to get out of the wire in the middle of the night. So again, we continue the scene from yesterday where Colin is setting up his brilliant plan to fool everyone to believing that he hasn't lost his eyesight. And Henley comes into the room. He thought it was Roger because Jim and I have established that the odds are that Roger had set a meeting with him, and that's the reason why Colin believes that Roger's the one who's showing up in the room. It's just really funny the way this whole the rest of the scene goes, because you can see how stressed Colin is, and the type of questions that he's asking are just really strange. You know, like when he realizes it's Henley, his first reaction is, "Ooh, how do you like the old escape suit?" which Colin yeah. himself isn't able to see. You know, at least he's able to dress himself at this point.
He's being casual. I mean, he's just
no. But I'm saying, my point is, he's being casual, but he seems to be trying very hard.
Yes.
To show that he's okay, that he's right.
It's all good. Nothing. Exactly. Nothing to see here. I shouldn't have said that.
You know, then he starts chuckling. You know, and he goes, you know, fine. Henley says fine. That looks fine. You know, Colin again. I'm trying to figure out what he can see and what he can't see, because he knows where the bed is. He's able to sit down on his bed. You know, as we discussed earlier this week, I think yesterday or yesterday, yeah, where he knows where the walls are. So he has somewhat of an idea. You know, I mean, obviously he's been in this camp for a few months, so he's familiar with his own room. But still, you know, the idea of losing one of your senses and not be off balance is an interesting thing to look at, because he's not off balance. You know, he knows where things still are. You know, a lot of times you hear stories of people who've lost their sight who over time are able to compensate with other other senses. But here, this is very familiar. This just happened to him. This isn't something that he's been dealing with for days, weeks, months. I mean, this is something, from what we can understand, he's been dealing with this for hours.
Right.
You know, if
and again, I think that the timeline is a little skewed on this. I think they're playing with it. This sort of blindness, nearsightedness, legal blindness, which I had, comes on over a series of time. It can come on very quickly. I mean, people can have strokes and lose their eyesight, so it can happen, you know, quickly. But I think this happened over a certain amount of time, just from the stress of doing such close work, doing the papers. But I think it may even be in this minute, but I think they're a little inconsistent with what he can see and what he can't see. I take it as a given that because he's been in that room for months and months and months and months and months, that basically he already knows, every square inch of that room and can navigate around it, even if he were completely blind or blindfolded. But we won't get too far into this minute before we come across something that bothers me, that seems inconsistent, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the first thing first thing we see is the reaction of Henley when Colin calls out Roger, and Hensley looks rather.
He's the first one to realize that something's wrong here.
Yes.
You know, why would you know?
And probably has realized it for quite a while. But we'll find out later.
We don't know how long, you know, his eyes say. As I mentioned earlier in the week, there are other scenes in the movie beforehand where you can see that he's squinting, or you know that something is, you know, if you know that this is going to happen during the course of the movie, so you can see it in the way that Donald Pleasance plays the character in earlier scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is where other characters would have seen it. You know, Henley theoretically shouldn't have been able to see this if Colin didn't see it himself, unless, you know, he was always concerned about the fact that he's a little bit too nearsighted with everything that he's doing. And at this point, he's like, okay, something's a little fishy here. I'm not really sure what it is. And at this point, Colin gives himself away because what Henley says, well, what do you think of mine? And the response is, well, that looks splendid.
And he's wearing the same uniform, his uniform that he's worn the entire movie. And you would think, well, I know, that unless he was completely 100% blind, that he'd still be able to tell that it wasn't the suit that he was he'd be wearing for the actual escape. I mean, what would he be doing wandering around the compound out in the hallway in his escape uniform? Even though when we talked about this yesterday, that's they were in the hallway when they were practicing the dress rehearsal for the checking the papers and things like that.
Yeah.
No, if he wasn't 100% blind, he'd be able to tell. He could see just by the color. You know, unless he lost all, unless he was colorblind as well, but that usually doesn't happen. Both, unless you've just completely lost your sight. For me, that kind of went, not quite there. There's another thing that will happen. I think you'll be talking about it next week. It's one of the things that bugs me. It's not quite true to form, although dramatically. It is.
You mean the you're talking about the leg issue?
No. It's.
Oh, okay.
When he's talking about, you'd have to really be blind not to see the leg sticking out. I mean, completely 100% blind.
Yeah, exactly.
The other, I think it would be. No, what I'm talking about is when he's when Roger comes in and Pleasance. Colin asks him what is what he thinks of his suit, and there's no reply from Richard Attenborough's character. Then he says, "Well, it's not as bad as all that, is it?" And I thought when I initially saw that scene that he saw the expression when he was talking to Bartlett,
right?
That he saw Bartlett's expression change, and that.
And how would he see that?
And how would he see that? Because that would be a pretty subtle thing if he can't even see.
The question is whether he saw the expression or whether he heard it in his voice.
He didn't, but Bartlett doesn't say anything. So I'm thinking that he's just keying off the fact that Bartlett doesn't respond. At least that's how I'm trying to forgive that part of the scene.
Right. Okay.
So does, you know, is he 100% blind, or is he kind of just extraordinarily legally blind where he can still see shapes?
Maybe it comes and goes.
Could be. You know, even then, when I've had it fixed since then. Now I see 20/40 with farsightedness, but I can't see nearsighted at all. So I'm completely reversed of what I was before. When I was legally blind, it did kind of come and go, not to any extent where it was completely noticeable that, oh, all of a sudden everything's clear. But there were days when the focal length was a little bit better than others, and I could see things at arm's length as opposed to being right in front of my nose. So, yeah, it could be that too. It could come and go.
Right. Okay. So Henley basically looks at Colin, trying to figure out what to do, takes his hat off, and then throws his hat onto to the top bunk and stands next to the bunk, then turns around, reaches into his pocket, trying to figure out what he's going to do.
He takes his hat off so that he thinks he's in his escape suit.
Yes.
But
yes,
even then, Donald Pleasance doesn't see that action.
Right. He also doesn't see the hat flying above his head. You know, I would think that if I was watching something like that, I would have looked up to see what we're talking about here. You know, if a hat is flying over my head, I'm going to look up. You know, because, I mean, Colin is also at that point lying on the bed, just looking up. He's looking up at the underside of the bunk bed. You know, that's what he's doing. He's not paying attention to what's going on. You know, you'd think that the best thing for him to do at that point would be to close his eyes, not go open. You know, make it look like he's resting at the time or whatever it is.
In his suit.
Yes. Well, because maybe he's waiting for Roger.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Maybe he's waiting to go visit Mac. Maybe Roger comes to tell him go visit Mac. I don't know.
And you know, that's interesting because they pointedly do not have Colin going to do the dress rehearsal with Mac.
Even though
for him.
When he does meet Bartlett, I mean, I think we're going to talk about this later on Friday, you know, where he starts speaking a little bit of German to Roger. He's testing out his German at that point. But we'll discuss that on Friday when we get there. No reason to jump ahead.
No. At this point. but again, he's they don't have Colin in the dress rehearsal that we saw yesterday because... Right. It'd be almost impossible for him to do it unless, you know, he had planned every move down the corridor to get to that particular room. So just one little thing that they left out because they could focus dramatically in segments.
Right. That's true. You have anything else you want to say about this particular segment before we move on to the next? Next part of the story spiraling downwards.
Other than you can tell that this was all this is going to be a longer scene with Roger, and it is interrupted by what we're about to discuss next. Yeah. Another in the series of things going wrong and things starting to go south, and generally the mood starting to drop prisoners.
I like the way that they actually cut between different prisoners, you know, different storylines at the same time here to show that these are all happening at the same time. You know, you have Colin in the room waiting for Roger, and then, you know, first you have Mac testing or interrogating everyone before they go, and then it jumps to showing Colin in the room, you know, and then now it jumps to the outside where you see Danny and Willie outside. I think it's done really well to make us believe that all of this is happening at the exact same time. This is all basically, I mean, this scene... Willie and Danny will explain to us that we're talking about this is the night before they're going to get out. So it everything comes together. You know, Colin needs to make sure that he's going to be going out the night beforehand. You know, they're doing the dress rehearsal the night beforehand. You know, and Danny finally cracks under all the pressure. So we get an outside shot where a figure moving in the shadows. When at some point, because of the interesting lighting that they do here, I mean, that this is a well-lit compound.
Yes.
You know, we get to see that is actually Danny that's here. Now, he's got two very distinct things with him. I'm assuming you noticed what they were. What were they, Jim? You see them?
Wire cutters.
Correct. And?
Let's see, what was the other thing? I noticed the wire cutters was the main... Oh, he's got a rope.
It's either a rope or a blanket or something. I mean, it's hard to tell exactly
what it is.
Something.
He's got something rolled up underneath his jacket.
Exactly. I think it looks more like a blanket, maybe filled with some sort of supplies. Maybe it's just to make it easier for him to get around the...
No, it's not a rope. It's a rolled up blanket. It's a satchel. Yeah, something like that. He's got a rope attached to it that's going over his shoulder.
Right. That's what's holding it together.
So it's right.
Right. So the question is he planning on using that to pad his way when he goes out through the barbed wire? Is that so that he doesn't get cold at night? Is it just a way of him carrying other supplies that he needs along the way, whether it be food or, who knows? So I found that interesting that he's leaving and this is what he's taking with him, these two things. Because it always amazes me how easily they all are able to come by wire cutters in the compound.
I think what they're self-made.
This doesn't look self-made. The one in his hand looks very impressive and really looks professionally made.
Yes, you could get it at Home Depot.
Yes,
but Danny, as we know from the very first sequence in the movie, is very good at ad-libbing.
Yes,
his way through escape attempts, so he would be very prepared and would grab anything he needed at a moment's notice to affect right. what he needed to
100%.
Do.
That's true. So while Danny's looking around and sneaking around to be able to try and get to the wire, you see Willie pop up from behind him. And Willie's actually, making a lot more noise and running, making a lot more movement than one would think that you should try if it seems as if Willie wants them to get caught. By the way yeah. that he does it.
Yeah.
And he screams it.
Shoving each other against the barricade.
And they start hitting each other also at later points. I think tomorrow we'll discuss the fact that they hit each other. He goes, Randy, where are you going? You're going to get yourself shot. Now, what do you mean, where are you going? You're going to get yourself shot. I'm here with you. I'm going to get shot too. Then he goes, what's the matter with you? And the response is, well, I'm going out through the fence. And so Willie's response is, Danny, we're getting out through the tunnel. We're almost clear. Basically, it's interesting to see that the shadows of the actors here. Because basically, the way that the shadows look, it looks as if there's a light right on them. Their shadows are right behind them.
Yes. Isn't there another, the way the lights look at first shot, it looks like they're every other... Oh, no, I see. There's a light on each barracks, every other barrack. And so supposedly there would be one on the closest barracks to the camera on the left out of sight. And that would be casting the shadows onto the barracks that we see from the two figures. But there's also a much bigger spotlight from the guard tower immediately in the row that they're about to go next to. You see,
correct. I agree with what you're saying.
But that wouldn't cast the shadow because the barracks would be in the way.
Correct. Now, when they run across to the barracks across the way, you don't see the light on that barracks, even though, as you just pointed out, it makes sense that there would be a light there.
Right.
But there is no light there.
Right. And maybe it's out of shot because when they do make that left turn,
it's a little higher up.
Yes, I think it may be out of frame, but who knows? Because it looks like there is a light, but then why would they be running under a light?
Exactly. It's again, it wants to get shot. Danny Willie's question to Danny is, "Do you want to get shot?" And I guess the answer is yes. I do.
Yeah. But on the other hand, we do need to see that it's Charles Bronson. So.
Yes. Okay. That's true. No, obviously, in movies, it's forgiving with these type of things. There's no question about that. It's there to for the audience. It's
yes, not
there
exactly. For
the characters. Because the characters don't need to see each other. It's the audience.
Yes, this is see them. This isn't the Blair Witch Project where we just get available light. This is a Hollywood correct. Production.
It's as Hollywood as you get in 1963. No question about that. All right, did you have to say about minute?
No, this minute is great.
The whole movie's great, but you're right. This minute is also great. No question about that. Jim, you want to come back again tomorrow?
Yes.
Continue discussing this?
Yes.
All right. Great. Great. I love the enthusiasm. That's what we need. So why don't you tell everyone once again how they can get in touch with you?
You can get a hold of me at, you can read what I write at Blogging by Cinema Light, which is my blog. And occasionally I show up on the Large Association of Movie Blogs. And Rob asks me to write some things occasionally.
Every so often, yes, yes, yes. But that was for, The Lamb Devours the Oscars months and months ago. But, when the Oscars come up in a few months from now, we'll get you to write again. So that's good,
okay,
too. All right, so while you're doing all that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using. You can visit our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. You can find us on Twitter, greatescapemxm. You can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook group, which is called The Cooler. I know you like that, Jim. That's good. That's great.
I love that. It's perfect.
Okay. Yes. Why not? It fits it right in with the theme of the movie. So that's perfect. So until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.